Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
DGS on KMOX. Happy Tuesday to you. Hope you're doing fine out there. You know how one day will be Chocolate Chip Cookie Day or Dave Glover Show Day on October 16th? Today is National Pass Gas Day.
All right. Oh.
Okay.
Glad to know it's okay today.
Can do.
I would like to make a request that we all wait till we get home.
To celebrate?
To celebrate.
Let's all celebrate in the car on the way home.
God's talking to someone. He's like, hey, how's it going with that human experiment? He's like, oh, man, I should have never created farting. They're just obsessed with it.
They just can't stop.
Like, I shouldn't have made it sound so funny. I know. Yeah. It's on me. It's my fault.
Yeah.
I wonder when it became socially unacceptable to openly fart. Because, you know, like cavemen,
yeah,
they didn't care.
And I'm sure they laughed, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you?
Yeah, it's a good question.
It's just
the
combination.
It's weird to think about cavemen laughing.
It's just like the combination of noise and other people's reaction that's funny.
You think cavemen had a sense of humor?
Oh,
I don't
yeah.
think there's any question. We got it somewhere. Maybe it was a different version of it, but I'm sure.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't they? I mean,
I don't
like
know. They had other
like,
stuff.
Like
going
monkeys,
on.
Monkeys have a sense of humor. Like some of the other smarter animals have. Dolphins have a huge sense of humor. They have the dolphin pool. I don't know if it's still there, but the way it's set, if it's set up the same way, but when we went to SeaWorld years ago, there's a big pool in the middle and there's dolphins. You can interact with them. You can feed them. You can they have like volleyballs. They can play and they'll deke you out and get you close and they splash you and then they like and swim away.
Hmm. Who knew?
Yeah.
What do they do when you fart?
Well, they laugh.
What do you do when you fart? In a place where you shouldn't.
What's oh, you mean like,
what's your move?
Like accidental yeah. or like?
I just yeah. own up to it because yeah. I've done it in studio before. You remember, I think it was when Trish was on the phone, the show. It was like right before we went to a segment. I was like, I farted.
Whoops.
I'm sorry, but it happened.
Yeah, if it's going to be one of those things where it's going to be unavoidable, it'll just be like, yep, that was me. Sorry. Well, what are you going to do? But if it's like on the sly, it's usually like you just got to wait.
And you and look hope around. It's okay.
No, you just look around because you're trying to, because if you know if somebody figures it out, you just kind of catch their eye and give them a little laugh like, hmm? Yeah. It was me.
I'm giving nothing unless I have to.
I don't think you know this story, but you're going to like it. So you know how weird I am and you know my weird tics. And I used to have a lot worse weird tics. And one of the things I had was when something would be awkward, like if you and I were having an awkward conversation, there was a long silence, I would fill it by sniffing really loud like this.
Ah.
Just something I did. It was
right,
just,
right.
It's like I could have smacked my ears or licked a sugar bowl, but that's what I did. And so my freshman year in college, I'm in this big class. And I'm sitting next to this girl to the right of me who I really, really liked because there was always a girl I really, really liked. And I was trying to flirt with her, but I was bad at it. It had been, you know, like 2 weeks and I hadn't made my move yet. And we were taking a test. It was really quiet and we're sitting on those classic college desks. And I had to toot. There was no doubt about that. I was going to have to let it out a little at a time because there's,
right.
there's no coming back from this one.
No, controlled demolition.
But it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
It wasn't okay.
Yeah.
It was really loud. Complete silence, and then you hear this. And it was clearly me.
Yeah.
And then I just sniffed as loud as I could.
You might as well own it.
And the girl next to me, the one I had a crush on, had the most disgusted look on her face. And then when we came in for the next class, I sat completely away from her.
Yeah, probably a good idea.
That was a bad one.
Yep.
That was bad.
It's so unfortunate when you think it's going to, you're like, this is definitely going to be quiet. This is not going to make a lot of noise. And it like echoes through the hallways of the Capitol building.
Yeah. Now that would be classic.
Oh, you know what happens?
The Capitol building? I would be like, yes.
I'm surprised it doesn't happen on television more with all this 24-hour news.
Yeah.
Everyone's being filmed all the time. Mm. Like, why don't we see some more toots? Here's some more toots.
Should it be
we
normalized?
We just need more in general. I mean,
should it just be like, yeah, man, whatever?
I guess. I mean, I can see why it would be like rude in some settings, but in others, why? I mean, what's the big deal? It's going to go away. It's not like it's going to stay there all day.
I would prefer. I do like that there's a bit of social shame to it because I don't want to be smelling anybody's.
You don't just want to be sitting around.
No,
and
just like everyone feels like it's okay to just let her rip. Like, no.
I mean, but again, it's not, it's temporary.
I know, but still, like, I don't need to know that about
you. Yeah, I mean, mm-hmm. There are times, too, where, you know, it'll lead to evacuating the room, so.
Two of the hardest I've ever laughed was the fart scene in Blazing Saddles.
Yeah,
where they're eating
good.
The beans.
Yep.
And then in The Clumps, whichever one it was.
Yeah.
Hercules, Hercules. Like, oh, my God, I thought I was going to die. And I think I have a fairly sophisticated comedic palate, and yet it just takes me down.
Man, I don't know that anything's ever been funnier than like the real life ones. Like, I mean, like, so again, like, went to an all guys school, so you're not trying to impress anybody. You're not trying to, like you said, you're not trying to get a date with the girl that's next to you, so you don't care. And there are just times it's hilarious when you're at an assembly and it's quiet for a second. And the principal stops talking, and you just hear, wonk, and the whole student body loses it. That's pretty funny. Not going to lie. Not that I was the author of said incident, but I wish I was, because it would have been great.
I wish it was me.
Wouldn't that be a rallying cry? I wish that was me!
Lucky.
Oh, I mean, like, yeah. And you know, this is the joke, dream. But in, like, grade school, was not all guy school, but grade school, we used to have to go to mass every week and do all that at a Catholic school, and it was not uncommon for a pause in the mass to hear that. And you want to talk about trying not to laugh. Boy.
Yeah.
You feel like you're going to die because you know that Father Dore's looking at you, and he knows somebody in your row did it, and you're all trying not to laugh, but it was just too funny.
Totally different subject. I'm sure people are saying,
oh, let's keep going.
Thank God. Can you be on your phone and in the moment? And I'm thinking more like filming something, but also just being with your friends or family and texting. Can you do both? So I think we all think we can.
I think it depends on the moment. Most things, yes. Serious conversation, probably not. You know what I mean?
What about like a concert? Do you feel like you're missing the show?
Or if you're recording songs or whatever.
Here's an example. Phoebe made National Honor Society, and we were at her induction ceremony, and I was filming her, getting her whatever award mm-hmm. thing, and then walking up. I'll never watch that again. I don't even know where it is, but I felt in the moment that I had missed the moment because I was filming it.
I don't know because I've done both, and I don't know that I've noticed a big difference. Because I always think that, like, in the moment, I'm thinking, if I don't record this, I won't be able to send it to my parents, or I won't be able to, like, if I do it at a concert, like, my favorite song, and I'm going to do, I don't know, the intro. Maybe I like to do, like, the first, like, minute of a show, like, when the curtain goes up and everybody's going nuts. I like that because I like to be able to relive that later and listen to it and watch it and, you know, just be like, man, that was amazing.
See, I never do.
Oh.
I never do. Unless it's something really funny
that
I happen to capture, like, hey, you got to see this. But I would never be like, Andrew, I saw the Counting Crows. Here's Long December. Like, no.
I do the same thing. I always film a little something, and it's never come into play. I've never, like, watched it back. I've never been treasured memories. I don't know.
It might be just the way my schedule works, because I listen to music at night, you know, like right before I'm going to bed, usually for about 20, 30 minutes. And sometimes I'm listening. I'm like, man, that Pantera set at the Metallica show was amazing. And when they played Walk, it was amazing. And then I want to see it. So I pull it up and I have my headphones on and I've got it loud and it sounds like I'm in the building. It's pretty cool. And it was a really cool version. Like, I don't do it for all of them, but the ones I don't do that for, I end up deleting.
Are you much of a taper?
No, not really. Because, first of all, it's really hard to just whip your phone out and get, like, a good piece of footage without it turning into this is all you're doing. So, yeah, to answer your question, like, I don't think you can really be, like, fully in the moment and filming, too. And then for me, I just have such an addiction to the cell phone that if I'm on it and then I'm like, oh, well, let's see what, like, I just naturally start to go like, oh, let me check my messages real quick. Let me check Twitter and Facebook. And then I'm like in my phone. So I would say to answer your question, for me, it's a no. For other people, they probably have an easier time separating those things. But
yeah, again, it's very different, like the circumstance. Important, serious conversation, well, then no. But if it's something lighthearted and you're just kind of guys, you're just all just there being silly, or you're watching the same show, or even at a concert, like I'm not looking at the show through my phone.
Mm-hmm.
I'm holding it where my face is, and what I turn and look at is where my phone goes. Because it's usually a really wide shot, right? Or it's not super narrow, it's not super focused in. So I don't feel like I miss anything when I'm doing those particular things because I'm not like staring at it through my phone.
Okay.
And then I get to go listen to it a little bit later. In fact, I'm going to listen to one of those during the break.
Do it. 322 DGS. We have the think tank coming up at 4 p.m. St. Louis County Executive Steve Ellman and Alvin Reed are going to be here. Lots to talk about. Can I tell you a really sweet story from my childhood I just thought of?
Yeah.
So I was probably in first grade. And there was a kid in second grade, and his name was Joe Weisenberger, and he was a little off and had kind of an unfortunately shaped head. I'm sure it's better now, but being named Joe Weisenberger, everyone called him Joe Weisenbooger, and he was just the butt of every joke, and it was sort of like in Diary of a Wimpy Kid, you had the cheese touch. Like, no, you touched the cheese. That was Joe. You couldn't touch Joe. If you touched Joe, you were a Weisenbooger. And so I know all this. And I'm not mean. I've never been mean. I've never been a bully. But I kept my distance, right? I don't want the cheese touch. And they had after school, I'll never forget this. After school, they had like a yard sale kind of thing in the gym. And I was there kind of shopping. And there was this shirt that looked really cool, but it was too high for me to reach. I was a little dude. And next thing I know, Joe Weisenberger's next to me. And he goes, do you want to see that shirt? And I'm like, oh, my God, the booger's talking to me. What am I going to do? And I'm like, yeah. And he pulls it down and he holds it up like your mom would. And it was 10 cents. And I had a nickel. And he gave me a nickel. Isn't that the sweetest? It's such a simple little thing, but I'm 60 years old. I have carried that for like 53 years.
That's crazy.
Just this guy that was a pariah as an 8-year-old, and he was the sweetest dude. And as much as you can learn a lesson in first or second grade, I did. I remember distinctly. Yeah. I remember what the shirt looked like. I remember distinctly thinking, you a-hole. Like, this guy's great.
I think that's the problem, though, is that when you're a kid, your greatest fear is being on the outside.
100%.
Because you don't know any better. Your world is your classroom, right? Your world is your little school. And you're not... I don't know how to say that you... How do we get past that happening? Because it just would have to be coming from adults, because kids don't know any better. You literally don't know better.
What a great question. Do we mirror the crappy antics of grown-ups, or is it more innate that we have this built-in need to have them in us?
Well, I mean, it's the built-in need to not feel like you're the one that's getting picked on. So as long as someone else is getting it, you're not. But I do think that we mimic adults. I mean, it's a combination of all of those things. But they're certainly a part of us, especially when you're young and your brain's developing, where you're like, well, I don't want to be that person. So if someone else is that person and we can make sure that that other person is always taking that, well, then the rest of us don't.
You know what made me think of it? The shirt looks a lot like Andrew's shirt today.
Really?
It was a gold shirt with black stripes, and I looked at him, and I'm like, wow.
Yeah, this is about a 10-cent shirt.
Oh, man. But that happens in every age group that you could think of. I mean, every school group, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it was less. I noticed it, put it this way. I did notice it. Now that I think about it, it was a more common thing when I was like kindergarten through third grade. I was in a public school, and it was bigger versus being in a small Catholic school where you have 20 people in your class. It's a little harder to single people out in the smaller environment because, one, you're all together anyway. You're literally doing everything together, and there's just a little bit more direct supervision. There's always an adult around. It's not like in a bigger setting where maybe it's 30, 35 kids in a classroom and there's 5 classrooms at each grade level and you're all outside and you can't keep track of all that. People have eyes on you when there's only like 10, 20 of you. So, but it's still, I'm sure it still happened to a degree.
Do you guys ever bully anybody?
No, yeah. I mean, not bullied. I mean, there are people that I'm sure I ignored.
Yeah, I think I bullied some people.
Did you?
When I was like younger, yeah. Because it's all about, you know, it's like you said, like Wheels was pointing out, it's all about, you know, trying to get the focus off of you being, you know, it's all fear-based. So I'm afraid that someone's going to inflict this upon me, so I'm going to inflict it upon somebody else first and try and kind of redirect the attention in that way.
Yeah.
And it still happens in adulthood.
Yeah, that's the worst part. That's a worse thing. Right? Because we should know better. Because we should understand why we're doing it. Now, again, there is a major difference between bullying and, like, casual making fun of. Right? Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's teasing and there's bullying, and they're not the same thing.
Because
it's all about degree and the seriousness of it and the way it's directed. So if you tease me, that's not the same thing as you bullying me. Those are very different things. Not that you do either.
Not like when you took my lunch today.
You told me to. As soon as I walked in, you're like, grab some pizza.
Because I'm afraid of you.
Because of the environment that you've cultivated.
Because of the many threats.
You should be.
Yeah, Wheeler walked in today looking like Shaft.
Yeah.
Had my leather jacket on.
Yeah,
he
was actually.
That was actually terrifying.
I'm trying to remember exactly when I got it, but put it this way, it was before 2006 when I got that jacket because it was when I was at Sporting News Radio. I used to do.
Were you collecting debts for Sporting News Radio?
So I used to do, like, I did the overnight show, and then after my show, like once a week for a couple of years, I would go on the morning show in Montreal. That was our affiliate to talk baseball or whatever. And then one day they just sent me this leather jacket.
Get out.
It's got their logo on it. You can't see. It's kind of a little faded, but it's printed in there. But it's a really fancy leather shop in Montreal where it's from. Super nice. I love it. It's so comfy. It's kind of ugly now, though.
What a nice gesture.
Yeah, it was nice of them. They weren't paying me to come on. So that was kind of like their, hey, buddy, we're not paying you, but we can hook you up.
Mm-hmm. Some of our finest leather.
It is nice, though, man.
Finest
Canadian
leather.
Yeah, that is a nice jacket, though.
Canada's going to be a state soon.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
And the Gulf of America.
You know what's so stupid about what I just did there? And people who like South Park know exactly what I just did there. I just did a Terrence and Phillip.
Oh, yeah. Welcome back, guys. DGS. I almost said DGS 97.1. There's a throwback. Whoa. DGS KMOX. Dave Murray joins us. Hello, Dave.
That's a brain freeze.
Yeah, right? You ever do that? You ever? Like,
oh yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Just, you know, I think it's part of instinct. It just takes over because you're not thinking about everything. You're thinking ahead of that of what you're saying. And it's like, okay.
Speaking of that, we both make a living talking, and I'm always impressed with others who make their living talking or singing or rapping or something, like anything where you have to engage your brain and something has to come out of your mouth. So I happen to believe for what I do, for what Dave does, for stand-up comedians, that it's all about comfort. If you're comfortable, the audience is comfortable. But I want to see if you agree with this, Dave. The only way to get comfortable is experience. And the only way to get experience is to screw up, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, even with a lot of experience, you're still going to screw up from time to time.
I think it's like whenever Rach brought in the students from Lewis and Clark, and who knows if what I said made any sense to them or meant anything to them at all. But one specific thing I said is when you trip over a word, as we all do, just move on. Like, don't be like, oh my gosh, because then you get all stuck in a hole and you can't get out of it. Like, everyone does it. Everyone misspeaks. Just be like, yeah, well, let's move on. Right? Yep.
Just motor through.
Motor through it.
Yeah, the U man taught me that long, long time ago. He said, you know, if you choke up on a word or you misspeak or something, motor through it. Just motor through it because nobody's going to remember.
Yeah.
Just go through it.
But boy, don't we all know that feeling when you've messed up and you can't get out of it? Just mentally, you're just like you're stuck on an ice puddle and you're just like, I
can remember my first big one on the air was I was a producer and I was just starting to get breaks on the air. Like I had helped co-host a fantasy baseball show and I was doing updates. That was the big one. I was on my first ever like top of the hour. We did our updates at top 20 and 40. And they were really big deal on the radio network because at the time, this is 1995, 1996. It was a really big deal because nobody had the internet. Nobody had it on their phone, so updates were considered a big deal. The top of the hour was 2 minutes break and then another minute. So it was 3 minutes total in a four-minute window, and I only brought copy for 1 minute. And it's got music playing behind it, like ding, 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 ding. And I ran out of stuff, and I just sat there for like 40 seconds.
Froze.
And it's just like, oh, well, I'm just looking at the producer on the other side. I was like, I got nothing else. I mean, see, I'm going to sit here until the minute break hits so I can run and grab the other thing and come back and do the last minute. It was pretty good, man.
Yeah, my first time on the air was at Channel 5. It was September of 1976. I'd come out of graduate school. No TV experience at all. And they put me on the midday show. They saw potential in me. Keith Gunther was the program director. And I did the show. I was as nervous as a tick. Just awful. And I get a phone call from Keith, it was from his secretary, right after I got off the air. Mr. Gunther would like to see you. And I thought, I'm dead in the water. One time. I have one show, and that's it. And I go into his office, and he goes, Dave, I just watched you do the weather. Do you have to go to the bathroom? Because you're dancing around like crazy. And he goes, I'm going to give you some advice. Before every show, go to the bathroom.
Practical.
That's funny, man.
Practical stuff.
Yeah, practical.
I remember, so good.
I remember it was one of like the first things that I got Dave's interest with. I like threw it out to you before the show. I was like, I really want to talk about this. This is super interesting. And it was because I had seen an article and I knew it was going to be good. And then I forgot to read the article. And in the middle of the show, you like went to me and you were like, I really want to hear about this. This does seem really interesting. Tell me all about it. And I had absolutely no idea. And I'm trying to like read the article and the article wasn't what I thought it was. And I'm trying to like, and you can clearly... You obviously knew that I had not read this article at all, and everyone's just staring at me trying to get through this, and it was a mess.
Dave, I don't know if you ever heard it, but back in the day, Wheels, you'll appreciate this. When Andrew was brand new and really nervous, we used to do 3 minutes of Andrew, and we would all leave the studio.
Oh, no.
How mean is that? But it was great radio.
That's good teaching.
You know what? You know what, though? I hate to admit it, but Kevin is kind of right. It did teach me some things that I did not... It taught me some skills that I had not yet developed for this job, which is the ability to keep talking even when you think you might have run out of things to say, when there's no one else available to talk.
And I think there's something very valuable in living one of your big fears and surviving and going, oh, that was okay.
Yeah.
That's all right.
It definitely reminded you, like, oh, if you stop talking, no one else is going to pick up this, so you better keep going.
Yeah. Dave, other than bitter cold, what are we looking at?
Yeah, the coldest is going to be Wednesday night. The Arctic high pressure right over us. So we're only looking at 22 for the high tomorrow. It will be a little colder than we are right now. 3 for the overnight low Wednesday night. That will be the coldest. Thursday, sunny skies, but a very cold start, obviously, at 3 degrees. But 32 in the afternoon. That will feel pretty good. The winds will be turning to the south. A little system is going to come by. It doesn't have a lot of moisture to work with. It's coming out, it's actually coming out of the Baja of Mexico, and it will go across Texas, be a southern system, not a lot of moisture to work with. It's not a strong storm, nothing like we just came out of. And that's going to bring a little light snow late Thursday night. It'll be way after midnight and into at least Friday morning. St. Louis South will be the focus for any accumulating snow, 32 on Friday. I'm thinking a dusting to maybe an inch, probably the max, across the St. Louis area. Southeast Missouri, southern Illinois, let's say Rolla to Mount Vernon, line south, maybe 2 inches of snow, but I don't think that works its way into the St. Louis area. The weekend, it's cold, but it's nothing weird. Right around the freezing point, lots of sunshine. There are signs of another little Arctic outbreak trying to come in here around the 16th of January. I think we just get nicked by that. Most of it is probably going to be the Great Lakes, the Ohio Valley, the Northeast. And I don't think that's going to be as cold as what we're in right now.
Okay. Fair enough. Headlines, Rach?
Brought to you by Schnucks. Reward yourself daily with the Schnucks Rewards app. So Nancy Pelosi returned to Congress after her hip surgery, but without her signature stilettos. She wore flats instead of usual 4-inch heels that she typically wears. She also used a walker. You can see those photos. They're on Twitter and stuff. Pelosi's daughter mentioned that the doctor advised her to stand on the ball of her foot, indicating that she may not have to give up heels permanently just for now.
I didn't know she was known for heels.
Yeah, I mean, she always looks, she always has like the suit and the skirt and the heels and the.
She's like 84.
She looks good.
She does. I know. I love
her. I know.
Her.
You think she
I
does,
do.
Dave was very enthusiastic there. Like, oh.
Yeah. I'm an admitted. I got a crush on Pelosi.
It's like heels, you say.
It's a very.
Never
sad.
Noticed the heels.
Wow, is she known for like red heels or black heels? Or,
oh man!
Like the you're the super kind? Fan. You should know.
Yeah. That's right. He's scanning the internet for pictures right now.
Couple of fast food news here stories here. Arby's is being sued for deceptively cutting portions but not prices. A New York resident filed a class action lawsuit against the chain because they didn't inform customers of the changes but kept charging the same amount. The increase in prices may never be noticed by Arby's purchasers, who may be left with only a strange feeling short of satiety, and even though this was due to downsizing.
So... But don't, isn't that common? I'm not saying it's good. I hate it. But
it is very common.
Like all these companies do. Now, in fairness, maybe the difference is like when you go buy a bag of chips that's been shrinkflated, you can look on the bag and it will have to tell you how many ounces is in that.
Mm-hmm.
Arby's doesn't sell like a quarter pounder, you know, where it should be a quarter pound. They just sell you a regular roast beef.
Aren't they? We got the meat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think you'd be a little more careful.
Less so these days. And Chick-fil-A is being criticized after changing the recipe for their waffle fries. They have added in pea starch to the recipe, and people claim they can taste the difference, and they're going nuts online.
Why the hell would you do that?
Why would you put pea in your fries?
I was going to say that.
Final fast food news story here. McDonald's is kicking off their 2025 with their McValue menu, including the $5 meal deal that launched last June. They also have a buy one, add one for $1 option. Lastly, there will be local deals and in-app exclusives like 20% off $10 or more. Let's see here. U.S. photo agencies Getty and Shutterstock are going to merge. I don't know, you know, if that affects anyone's daily life, but we've used Getty Images for blog posts and such on the show before. They will now be called Getty Image Holdings. The merger aims to combine their image platforms and achieve cost savings of up to $200 million.
You wonder how that industry is going to be affected by AI.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, Getty is great for like if you're writing something about a politician or a celebrity and you can go grab their photo, but can you just get an AI pick of them?
Right.
Like, what's going on? Meta has added Dana White to their board. strengthening their ties with President-elect Donald Trump. I thought that was so interesting that Dana White would be on the board of directors for Meta, Facebook, Instagram, and WhatsApp.
You mean like somebody who's been just about mixed martial arts and fighting all this time joining a tech company makes no sense?
Yeah, it must be nice to be just like one of these super rich guys. Yeah. It's like, you know what? You should come be on my board.
Yeah, that's what it is, man. And good for them.
But, it's a great gig.
Yeah.
It's a great gig.
But then doesn't it sort of beg the question that, you know, you go through education and you get your master's or a PhD and you get experience in accounting or business, but if you are just a really smart guy, which he seems to be.
He's very business savvy.
Very successful.
But I'll say, he definitely, in the early days of mixed martial arts, that company definitely did their fighters wrong. Treated them poorly, paid them nothing, you know, screwed them over a lot of times.
My larger point is, to what extent could any business do that? Like, you need a senior management consultant, but you know this really, really smart guy that didn't even go to college. I mean, what are the chances he could come in there and just give you common sense advice that would be better than some bean counter?
Yeah, it is fascinating to me because, you know, you see this, Dana White's going to be on the board of a tech company. Do you think Dana White would ever put Zuckerberg on his board of directors for MMA?
Probably
to take
not.
Advice from him about how he should run the company? Because I don't think he would.
Thank you, Dave. Appreciate it.
All right.
3:52, we have the think tank coming up on the other side of the top of the hour break. Steve Ellman, Alvin Reed. So what's this Monkey Man thing you're talking about, Wheels?
The movie.
Yeah, I know.
You saw you know the movie, right? Dev Patel is the star. He's the one that
directed
it.
I don't know anything about it, though.
All right, so I watched it this past weekend. It was a Buzz movie, right? For a while, people were talking a lot about it, and I kind of avoided it because Buzz movies tend to not hit with me. But this one was all right. It's got a little John Wick vibe. It's an action movie for anybody that's not sure about this. This is definitely like a kind of a revenge action movie. That's what it's all about. But what I wanted to talk about was not the plot or anything like that. Because I don't want to give anything away, and I know I'm recommending it for you, Dave.
Okay.
Rach, definitely for you. You're big into John Wick type movies, right?
I actually do like John Wick.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I was teasing you. I thought you made fun of one in the past. I was making fun.
No. I like John. I don't like all shoot 'em ups, but I love John Wick.
Yeah. This one's less shooting, more punching.
Okay.
It's definitely, but I don't know if that matters. But it's good. I would recommend it. Anybody likes that kind of movie, you give it a shot. But what was really interesting is it's set, obviously, in India. So and the subplot of it all, and this is in the trailers and the teasers, this is not a giveaway, is the difference between the haves and the have-nots and how stark it is in some of the big cities in India, where you've got skyscrapers and Lamborghinis and wealthy people, and literally across the street, it's just people living in dirt. It's like just living in dirt. And what I wanted to bring up as it relates to this movie is, isn't it weird that we're all okay with that?
Yeah.
Like, we just all do our thing. And it's such
like
a
weird...
Like,
if we were to visit a planet that was like that, we would be judgy.
Yes!
But for us, we're like...
It's weird. I mean, like, I feel that way downtown here. Like, I'm like, man, there's so many people that are homeless. It's just weird. Like, we have a world where... Now, it's a little less stark of an example, but, you know, we're not that far from the ballpark. We're not that far from the Central West End where there are multi-million dollar houses. And it's just interesting that in that close proximity, like in some cases, literally across the street, and the people that are living the high life, and I'm not talking about here or anything, but I'm talking about the super wealthy people, because it's really stark in the movie the way that you see it, where very powerful people have the ability to change things, and they just don't want to. They just don't care. And it's fascinating.
I mean, check it out.
Because most of us regulars, there's only so much we can do.
Mm-hmm.
We can talk about things. We
Is
can do a little thing.
Indeed a monkey?
No, he is not a monkey. But he plays one for part of the movie.
All right.